Hey, good afternoon. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive would say, and Piper, Derek Piper, is going to be on these airwaves this hour. About 4:30, he'll join Kyle Tosk from Omaha. We'll get his thoughts on what is about to transpire in that game. And of course, in the game tomorrow, of course, there are a lot of games tomorrow for NCAA tournament. And I was going to kind of go through some of that and let everybody know. Of course, those that probably are already planning the national holiday, as I mentioned, they've already probably got things figured out as to what game they're going to want to watch and this and that. I think it is cool, Kyle, that Duquesne and BYU, which is Illinois' next opponent if they beat Morehead State, is on right off the bat at 11:40. So an 11:15 a.m. game with CBS of Michigan State and Mississippi State, and then on True TV, which is where the Illinois game will be, following the Duquesne-BYU game. I think that's cool. Does that get you kind of, I don't want to say hyped up, but is that cool for you to know that, like, I'm gonna kind of see what these teams do before I watch my squad and see kind of how prepared we need to be to face a Duquesne or a BYU?
You know, I think I probably would prefer if they played after Illinois, because I'm going to be focused on beating Morehead State. I told you during the break, I've started to just get a little bit more nervous
it
about
happens,
this Illinois game as it's gotten closer, probably more than I should be. But, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch that game. I think it should be a good game just to get a feel for what those teams look like, but it'd almost be better if you could get – you know, Illinois is on to the next round, and then after Illinois is done, then they could pop on, and now you're like, all right, let me lock in and see what we're up against Saturday. But hopefully Illinois will have no issues taking care of business.
Illinois, 11.5-point favorite in the game versus Morehead State. In the BYU game, the Cougars, 9.5-point favorites over Duquesne.
It's got to be one of the biggest spreads ever for a 6-11 game.
I would say you're right.
Because BYU is technically a 5 seed, exactly. And Duquesne, one of the worst 11 seeds ever. I mean, I really have no idea how they're on the 11 line.
Is that already the storyline? Like, Illinois loses to BYU Saturday, and it's like, well, we had to play a 5 and blah, blah, blah.
Listen, Illinois is better than this BYU.
Exactly.
Exactly. You know, and you heard a lot of that after Loyola, but at the same time, you were so much better than Loyola, so I don't really want to hear it then. I put more credence in it when it was the Houston team, where that was an Illinois team that was flawed. They were the worst team in that matchup. They were a 4 seed. Houston was the 5. Houston was favored. All of a sudden, you're playing like a top 5 KenPom team. That, I think, is a little bit more fair, but this is a better Illinois team than BYU. I get that they're technically a 5, but you should win that game.
No, that's well said on your part, because – I've always said, look, did it stink that Loyola was in the 8-9 game when they should have been probably a 5 or a 6 seed? The point is, you're a 1 seed. You should beat them anyway. Doesn't matter where they're seated. Take care of business in that one. You mentioned that the nerves are starting to get there for you. Think about this a second before you immediately answer. How nervous do you think Brad Underwood is getting? I'm sorry, let me say that like that, not gets. How nervous do you think Brad Underwood is getting or anxious, if you will, because of that track record of the one thing he hasn't been able to do at Illinois? Forget the national championship. He hasn't gotten this team out of the first round of the NCAA tournament. Do you think that's cause for, you know, do you think that is cause for some nerves for Brad Underwood? Now, he is kind of a changed man this year with this older roster. I know in the past he got he got criticized for yelling at players, but all of that has gone away this year. Now, he'll still release
Ohio State huddle in the Big Ten tournament. He brought the 2018 Underwood back out.
He'll still get that hair going to where he's got to kind of fluff it back, you know, at the end of his little chat. But for the most part, it's been a relaxed Brad Underwood all season, and a lot of that has to do with the experience and the idea that he knows. He tells these guys what to do. They go do it, right? They know before he tells them what they're supposed to do. That said, do you think that puts a little extra worry to Brad Underwood in the idea of, man, just let me get 2 wins in this tournament? Don't get me going on the 2-win thing either.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I would imagine if you sat down with him off the record casually, he would tell you that he probably is feeling it a little bit.
Sure.
I just – And especially with how openly that he has praised this team, and it seems like he really loves this team more than he has almost any team he's had. There's got to be something to, like, if Morehead State comes out and is knocking a bunch of shots down, or if, you know, if he's so close. And you heard him talk this year too in some of these press conferences where he has that vivid memory of when he was at Stephen F. Austin, and he loved that Stephen F. Austin team he had, but Notre Dame bounced him in the round of 32 on a last second tip in where they had like three tips, and that's how you lose. Like, I'm sure that he's worried that something similar will happen, because I think he believes that this team has a really high ceiling, and that this team should be the team that he takes to that Sweet 16 at least. And based on what he said, he thinks they can go further, and they absolutely could if they play their best basketball. But I think he probably is feeling like, if this goes wrong, or if we don't show up to play, or if something happens here this weekend where this team doesn't get out of it, it's going to be obviously it's going to reflect very poorly on him based on his history here at Illinois, but also I think he feels like that shouldn't happen with this group.
Yeah, and of course we're getting into the mind of Brad Underwood, and he might be sitting there having a cold beer each night going, listen, I'm not worried at all. I mean, I've got a team that's comprised of veterans. I've got an All-American on this team. I've got two All-Big Ten guys. I've got Coleman Hawkins, who's been around here for four seasons. I'm not worried at all about this team. But it would be interesting to see if it would creep in his mind about even BYU, the fact that they're a six seed in this tournament, and it's never happened before, but they're actually the highest five seed that had to be listed as a six so they don't play on a Sunday. And it's just crazy when you consider that. That's such – now, look, I try to avoid the – that's so Illinois. That's such an Illinois thing, right, where it's like, oh, remember the 1 year? Like, you can just – like, in 20 years from now or 10 years from now, oh, you remember the 1 year where BYU was seeded fifth or sixth when they were actually the highest seeded fifth team? And then they made the rule that from now on you can't ever jump a spot like that or something. I don't know. It's just it's interesting.
What are you going to do if BYU's in the same spot next year, though? Like, it's just such a unique situation to them. Unique. So, of course it'd be Illinois. I know you didn't want to say it, but, it would be Illinois that would draw that.
I know. All right, so, again, you've got Michigan State, Mississippi State tipping the tournament off.
Heck of a game to start it.
Without a doubt, Michigan State is it's MSU. I don't know which one's
Michigan
the favorite.
State is favored.
Michigan State? Yep. A 1.5-point favorite. As mentioned, BYU 9.5-point favorite over Duquesne. Game three of the day on TNT at 12:30. We'll have Creighton against Akron and John Gross. So that game, Creighton a 12.5-point favorite. That game in Pittsburgh. Arizona tips off at 1 against Long Beach State. They're a big favorite, 20.5 there. North Carolina, the 1 seed against Wagner. That tips at 145. Carolina, the Heels, 24.5-point favorites in that one. So you will have.
I do really like that the three games that will be ending while Illinois is playing probably won't be close. I don't want to say for sure.
That's true.
We've seen it happen. But a 3-14, a 2-15, and a 1-16. So when you're locked into Illinois, you're probably hopefully not missing a whole lot.
That's a great point. That's a great point when it comes to just being a basketball fan in general. Five games will be played essentially before Illinois tips at 2:10. Illinois, an 11.5-point favorite in that against Morehead State. After that, at 3 o'clock, you've got Oregon against South Carolina. The Gamecocks, point-and-a-half favorite in that game, also in Pittsburgh. Following that, you've got Nevada and Dayton. Nevada, the 10 seed, actually a 1.5-point favorite against Dayton. That game is in Salt Lake City, Utah, starts at 3:30 on TBS. Then you get that little break. Right, there's a little bit of a break in there, but at 5:50 is kind of starts the nightcap, if you will, in the tournament, and that's where Colorado State, who just played last night, will turn around 2 days later to face Texas. Texas 2.5-point favorite. That game is in Charlotte. That tip is at 5:50. So if you're one of those unlucky ones that had to work all day Thursday, and the first chance you get to see a game, it's going to be Colorado State, Texas at 5:50. 6:10, you've got Oakland and Kentucky. The Wildcats, 13.5-point favorites in that one. 6:25, and I'm kind of looking forward to this game because it could be big for my bracket, is number 12 McNeese going against number 5 Gonzaga. That's a 6:25 game on TBS. The Zags, 6.5-point favorites. When did McNeese become McNeese and not McNeese State?
No idea.
I thought they've always been McNeese State.
I'm looking at something that calls them McNeese State.
Okay, well, on this, they're just listed as McNeese, so that was a little confusing to me. Right after that, Iowa State. So, again, another team that could Illinois could run into down the road at 6:35. Iowa State tips with South Dakota State. The Cyclones, 16.5-point favorites. I would take South Dakota State to cover the spread there. Well, Iowa State just kind of...
You don't think Iowa State's like all-out pressure will turn them over 27 times and they'll blow them out?
Yeah, you're probably right. So, for Illinois fans, you get a chance before the Illini game to check out BYU Duquesne after the Illini game tomorrow night. If you're not at some shed at 11 a.m. drinking, you'll be able to focus in on Iowa State at 6:35. I don't think you're going to have to worry about facing South Dakota State down the road, so you can kind of zoom
never
in.
Say never in you the never, tournament.
That's true. That's a good point. So then tomorrow night at 8:20, Tennessee, the 2 seed, will face St. Peter's on TNT. Tennessee, a big, obviously, favorite there, 21.5. NC State follows at 8:40 against Texas Tech. That's one of those weird games. There's always one of those weird games that has two Power 5 teams that I have no interest in watching. And I do you ever have that? I mean, you're so young. You don't have the years of doing this necessarily. But it just seems like there's always one game a day where I'm like, yeah, I'm not. And what I mean by that is, like, Tennessee-St. Peter's probably won't be that good of a game, so that doesn't excite me much. But normally the games that are, like, within a 4.5-point spread, you'd think you'd be excited to watch that. But, like, NC State and Texas Tech do nothing for me. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that NC State wouldn't be in the tournament if they didn't win 5 in 5 days. Right. Although I will say it's pretty fun to watch DJ Burns, their big guy. He is like a bowling ball. I don't know if you've seen him. Mm-mm. He is massive. And when I mean massive, I mean both height and width.
Okay.
And he's a tough guy to stop. He's kind of fun to watch at a great ACC tournament. But
well, I'm glad you said that.
That's your interest in that one, is just to watch DJ Burns. He's pretty funny.
Perfect. All right. So I'll tune in at 8:40. At 8:55, Kansas, of course, without Kevin McCullers Jr.
Yep.
He is out, and of course, if you remember the Illinois scrimmage against Kansas, McCullers and Shannon were trading buckets down the stretch. They used to be teammates at Texas Tech. So watch for that. Watch for this Kansas. Now, probably not going to lose to Samford, who is 29-5, and it's Samford, not Sanford. But
very popular upset pick, though, especially with McCullers, Samford.
And is Dickinson back?
Dickinson will be back. Okay. I think Kansas still, like, he's still got Bill Self. I don't think he's losing to Samford with Hunter Dickinson.
Jayhawks, 7.5-point favorites in that one. The final game of the night is one that I'm really looking forward to, and that's out of the Missouri Valley. Number 10 seed Drake at 28-6 will face 7 seed Washington State. Again, here's another 10-7 where the 10 is the favorite. Like Nevada was earlier, Drake is 1.5-point favorite over Washington State. So this game one is going to, from start to finish, as it would every year, it's going to suck you in, and you're going to be interested in watching all of these games. And, you know, it's always, here in the Midwest, it's always an 11-11 kind of day with a little bit of a break, mid-afternoon or kind of early evening, if you will. When I went to Vegas for the first 4 rounds 1 year, Kyle, the tip was at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we were up. You talk about four guys in their prime, right? Like ready to hit Vegas and go at it. We were in bed every night by like 11 o'clock because we were up at 6 a.m. We'd all shower. There was a place for breakfast right below us. Then we'd hit the, we'd go over to the sports book, place all of our bets. And then we had to be at whatever location we were going to be at that day for the first tip at 9 o'clock in the morning. So that was interesting in Vegas, how you were going 9 to 9 essentially. And by 10 o'clock at night, you're just like, I'm out, man. I'm tired and I'm ready to roll. So that is your schedule tomorrow. So besides Illinois-Morehead State, what's the one game you really want to watch? Is it BYU-Duquesne?
No, I think it's Gonzaga-McNeese.
Okay,
that's I'm with the game you I'm really – I think McNeese is – really intriguing. I'm kind of going – it's funny. I'm picking the 5 seed in my bracket, and I'm going, like, against the general public. Feels like everyone's going McNeese, but I do think that's going to be a fun game, and I think that one will come right down to the wire. I think that's really intriguing.
It's going to be fun. I'm with you there. That McNeese game I'm really looking forward to, and I'm also looking forward to the Drake-Washington
State. That's
going to
be a great nightcap.
But I also think it's going to be fun to be able to kind of get an eye on Iowa State. I haven't seen them much. And then also, of course, Duquesne and Duke. All right, here's the schedule. I'm going to get out of here. When you come back, Kyle is going to play some Brad Underwood. He met with the media today. You'll hear what the Illini coach has to say. And then around 4:30, 4:35, Derek Piper will join Kyle to round out the show. We'll get Pipe's thoughts from Omaha. I'm heading to a baseball game after this. Taxes. Oh, man. Deadline to file Tuesday, April 16. It's quickly approaching. Busey wants you to know there's a few things you can do to keep money in your pocket. How about contribute to a retirement account? You got to do that by the 16th. Organize your records and file electronically. It's the did you know less than 1% of electronic returns have errors compared to 20% of paper returns. If you get money back and the average person makes $3,000 back, they suggest you pay down some bad debt, build savings, retirement, investment accounts, or maybe establish or restore an emergency fund. Just visit Busey.com or stop by one of their many convenient locations to get started today on your maximum refund. They can help you see the way through this. That is Busey. They're always there to help. Busey, member FDIC. Go Illini.
Welcome to Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
Hi, I'm looking for a refrigerator.
When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Oh, yeah, well, I just need a refrigerator. Don't need the whole store.
But you get it, the whole store.
My kitchen is only about this big.
You get me.
Hello.
All those delivery, installation, and service technicians in back.
Wow, all those people?
The Dick Van Dyke 5-10-year protection plan, which means in the unlikely event something goes wrong in the first 5 years, your repair cost is nothing.
Nothing?
10 years parts coverage on the major components.
Looks like I'm getting more than a refrigerator today. How much does this whole store cost?
Nothing.
Come on.
For real. We guarantee to beat any competitor's deal, all that other stuff we talked about, like our service tax.
And your 5-10-year protection plan.
All included.
I'm Dennis Freakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. And when we say you get the whole store, we mean the whole store. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth, since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
The Alma Market is your one-stop shop for one-of-a-kind creations from the University of Illinois alumni and students, as well as unique finds from some of your favorite Urbana-Champaign area businesses. Treat yourself or a loved one and support your fellow Illini today. If you're a University of Illinois student, alum, or Champaign-Urbana area business, feature your products on the Alma Market. Becoming a vendor is a great way to expand your reach and connect with Illini across the country. For more details, visit almamarket.org. Go Illini!
Terrific to be here. There's nothing better than the NCAA tournament. There's nothing better than hearing your name called on Selection Sunday. I'm excited to be here with this group. I think we're coming into this tournament, obviously off the Big Ten championship, and feel like it's different than in the last few years. This group is very healthy. We're playing our best basketball. I feel like we're whole, which is something that through the course of a long season, there's always ups and downs and trials and tribulations and so on, sickness, injuries, whatever, and you have to deal with that. And so, you know, I think we're in a very good place injury-wise. I think we're in a good place sickness and all that. We had three kind of different games in the Big Ten tournament. The first day we didn't play very well and found a way to win. And I love that resilient mentality. I think you've got to have that as you move into the NCAA tournament. And, you know, it was probably not my favorite to be down double digits three times, but I think we found a way to persevere through some of those tough moments. Obviously, we've got Terrence Shannon had a phenomenal tournament and played great. Marcus Damask, really after the first night, was close to triple doubles and played great. So Omaha, I've been in this venue one other time in the NCAA tournament back when I was an assistant at Kansas State. It's one of the great basketball cities, great venues. So we're really, really excited to be here. And we've got a great great challenge tomorrow against Morehead State, a team that's playing awfully well, earned the right to be here, extremely well coached, and got a lot of respect for their program.
First question is down here on the left.
Hey, Brad. Eric Olson with the Associated Press. You'd mentioned Terrence and the Big Ten tournament. I know he's had some pretty good stretches during the season, but had you seen him play three straight games like that at that level?
He's becoming more consistent as a player. I think the one thing to answer your question, no. Not at 40 points, 34. I mean, he's had some individually big games, but it was called upon for him to do that. He's becoming very consistent. He's been with us a second year. The NBA process was great for him. He listened and he went to work on things that were they thought were issues with his game. So he's gotten better. But he's doing what great players do in big moments, and that's rise to the occasion. So. That was special watching that, and the 40-point game was very organic. We don't run a ton for him. I just looked at the box score at the end of the game, and it's like, oh wow, you know, he had a night, and he did it in all different facets of play, with the threes, with transition, getting to the foul line, very efficient.
Coach, Sincere Harris. Played every game last year, comes into this year redshirting. Just what have you seen out of him and just how he's approached and handled his new role this year?
He's a big reason we're as prepared as we are. He's with the scout team. Nobody talks more trash. Nobody's more competitive. Nobody's fights more in practice. He guards Terrence a lot in practice. But his work ethic... very unselfish on his part to want to redshirt. That was him wanting to do that. Get bigger, get stronger. He's lived with our strength coach. He's been in the gym every single day for workouts, working on his jump shot. So we see a much improved player, but we also see one that helps make the guys that are playing better every day.
Three questions are up. Go, please.
Coach, you've had a lot of success at Illinois. You've got a couple Big Ten championships, a lot of wins, but the NCAA tournament has been tough, and rightfully so. There's a lot of good teams here. How does this team sustain a run this year, knowing history and last year's first-round loss?
They don't know history. They don't know. That's only because you guys talk about it. This is a new group, veteran group. One game at a time. It's every day at a time. We have the saying, everyday guys. I think that every great program, there's been a ton of them that have ups and downs in the tournament. One of the reasons I like this group is we're healthy. And that's a big thing going into, you know, the NCAA tournament and postseason play to sustain any type of run. But it's one game at a time. I think you have to understand the abruptness of the end. I think this group's old. I think they truly understand that.
Hey, Coach, that part of the season early on when you didn't have Terrence, players kind of learned how to win without him, and then he came back, obviously a better team. Do you think if he hadn't come back, you'd still be in this position, or was he just that important to the overall team?
No, I think it helped us in a certain sense, but we were finding our identity right about then, especially on the offensive side, and yet we continued to flourish. I think we went into a shock a little bit, our first road game at Purdue without him. There was a sense of swagger that he gave us. We didn't, we were down 20-4, I think. But from that point on, I think we got better, and then it's been, since he's been back, it was just reinstating and him kind of fitting in. He knew that we were playing well, and so it's made us better along the way.
Hey, Brad, I was thinking of that Chattanooga game a couple of years ago and how it was a 1-point game, obviously you remember, but how difficult it could be at times for that team to score. And then this team, like the blitzes in Minneapolis, it's just so different. How much of that, if any of it, was you feeling like we've got to be able to go on runs and just score and score to do better, at the end of the season? Was that a conscious thing?
Yes.
That you wanted to turn that up?
And I don't want to make too much out of it with that team. Trent had pink eye, and we were without Jacob Grandison with a shoulder injury. Two of those guys, those were two big guys that helped initiate offense. But, I think the ability to adjust has always been, as you move into postseason play, has always been something that was a challenge for us. As great as Kofi was, there were some of those limitations in terms of what we could do at both ends of the court, and he was dominant. But being able to have versatility, multiple guys do multiple things, score the basketball from a lot of different ways, I think we proved that this weekend we could do that. So we'll see. It seemed to be pretty good for a lot of teams in postseason play.
Two, three years ago, whatever it was, the IO Kofi team, that was a one seed. You just look at the regular season or the seeding, and you'd think that was your best Illinois team. But the way this team can erupt, is this team better equipped for the tournament even? Or is this sort of maybe your team with the best shot, do you feel like, going in?
We're getting ready to find out. I like this team. I like this team. I do. And I, for a lot of different reasons other than that, I just think we're there's a lot of versatility with this group. Our bench is productive. We don't win the Big Ten tournament without Dane. I thought we were, Luke Goody's healthy now. I just think we have a lot of ability to do different things which we didn't then. Now, that team was great. He's got two All-Americans there. Just chose to have a bad day and had a bad day. But again, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I like where this group's going, though.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and...
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Illini pizza fans, great things come from Jet's Pizza. Detroit-style pizza is one of them. Freshly made dough pressed into steel pans inspired by the Motor City. Topped with premium mozzarella, Mama Jet's secret sauce, fresh toppings, then baked to the thickest, crispiest, cheesy crunch. Want Detroit-style proof? Order Jet's famous 8-corner pizza. It's 8 pieces of crispy, crunchy, and cheesy to the edge pizza. Right now, get $5 off an 8-corner pizza at regular menu price. Online code 8SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is Steve from Good Vibes.
And I'm Luke Goody from your men's basketball team. Steve, I have a question.
Shoot!
We've talked about Sony, but I know you have LG and Samsung too. Aren't they all kind of the same?
Ah, that's a tough one. Samsung is famous for their bright, colorful picture and the frame TV.
They look like art, right? What about LG?
Okay, Sony invented OLED, but LG perfected OLED manufacturing. That efficiency makes LG the number one selling OLED TV in the country, and their build quality is excellent.
Yeah, they're really flat too. So, why Sony?
Sony makes movies, cameras, monitors. Accurate image is crucial. Colors, skin tones, contrast, motion handling are just some of what Sony does better. Sony buys panels from Samsung and LG and improves them with their own video processing.
Wait, a Sony might have an LG screen?
Yeah, or even Samsung. You've heard how a great coach can take your team and beat his?
I get it. Sony can use other guys' parts and still make a winning product?
All to get that red hair just the right shade and no blur on the swish.
Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery has store-wide savings as they celebrate their anniversary. Installation is half off Mohawk waterproof luxury vinyl floors. The installation is free on Mohawk carpet. And get up to $1,000 of instant rebates on Mohawk carpet and floors. Instant rebates on all furniture. Plus, buy it all with 2 years free financing. Don't miss the anniversary sale going on now at Carpet Weavers.
And now, Kelsey Briggs, owner of Salon 105 in Mahomet.
We're trying to bring something big to a small area and bring luxury into our small community. It is definitely a dream come true. I knew from a young age that I always wanted to do hair and own a salon, which is why I got a business degree, and it has led me here. And the growth has just been so much faster than I anticipated, but it's been amazing. One thing that really sets us apart as a salon is our team. We have such an amazing atmosphere. Everyone is so respectful to each other, and it's pretty essentially a drama-free zone. We do a lot of team building and hang out with each other outside of work so that we can get to know each other on a personal base, which makes our environment very welcoming to anyone who comes in.
Salon 105, providing friendly, personalized service through a terrific, highly skilled team. To book your appointment, visit salon-105.com. That's salon-105.com. You've heard about the doggy bag, right? From Bulldog Disposal Muhammad, a 6-cubic yard canvas bag that can be used for easy cleanup instead of a big dumpster. The one-time use bag is now available and you can save the delivery charge. Get the doggy bag at Do It Best Hardware in Champaign at 107 West Springfield. So fill up the bag, call Bulldog Disposal, have it disposed of, and you'll be organized. Go to bulldoggybag.com for all the details. That's bulldoggybag.com.
Yeah.
It is The Drive, ESPN 93.5. Lonte has left the building. He is out catching some baseball over in Urbana, but luckily I get to turn to the Tapman's Towing phone line where Derek Piper is live from Omaha. Pipes, how you doing? Based on your Twitter feed from last night, you got quite the setup out there. Did you get any sleep last night, or were you up firing up the arcade machines?
First of all, what's up, Kyle? A young man's growing up, man. You're leading it in through the break and everything. I'm proud of you, first and foremost.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a fun time here in Omaha. We got in yesterday evening after about a seven and a half hour drive, recorded something for WCIA, and then, yeah, we kind of just hung out at the place. And, yeah, they got skee-ball down there. They got Mortal Kombat. They got an old Nintendo that messed around on some Super Mario and Tecmo Bowl and games that are way too old for Kyle's generation. And I had never even played Tecmo Bowl before. I need to learn because I threw 8 interceptions in a game that looked like a Big Ten West battle between me and Joey Wagner. He beat me 10-0, but we did have our fun. And then, yeah, I got some sleep. And in case my wife's listening to this, not too much, but I did enjoy a night without any diaper changes or anything like that. So I'm rested up as much as I can be this time of year and ready for some basketball tomorrow for sure.
Awesome. Well, set the scene for us in Omaha there. I know you got a chance to head over to the stadium today, talk to Brad Underwood, talk to some players. We played some of that earlier on our show. Also had open practice that I assume you were able to catch. So how's that been so far out there in Omaha? What are the vibes like with this Illinois team a day before they tip it off tomorrow? And anything stand out from what you were able to see over there today?
Yeah, we're still spotted up over here at the CHI Health Center here in Omaha. And like you said, vibes are good. I know that my co-worker and buddy Jeremy Warner just wrote a story about that actually today. Of course, last year, I kind of coined the phrase, the vibes are off, and they were. And this year, they're very much on. This is a team that is feeling very good. And that's just kind of the overall thing that I notice about this squad is I feel like they're saying the right things. They're giving off the right vibes. In terms of seeing the shoot around today, I mean, it's pretty basic stuff. It's nothing that you're going to maybe gauge a whole lot from. But I will say Terrence Shannon was burying 3 after 3 in their shooting drill. And it was a good sign for a guy that comes in probably as the hottest player in the country right now. If you look at his scoring output. So that's certainly good. I think just all in all, the team looks focused, but also not tight. I think that they're, as far as we can tell, I mean, obviously it'll be a different level of stakes. And when the lights are on and there's actual time on the clock tomorrow, we'll see if they're relaxed enough, kind of a balance between obviously being laser focused and intense, but also not overly tight and pressing. But today they seemed in their comfort zone. I know we walked in the locker room for some player interviews, and Sincere Harris and Dane Danger, and they're playing Uno, and Brad was actually in on that before he got called to the podium to talk to the media, which Brad did get the best. He'd probably want me to say this. He got the best of those guys and made sure to do a little dance and talk some trash in the locker room to them before he made his way out. So vibes are good out of the squad. I think there's an understanding of the pressure and talking to some other people just kind of around this team that you can kind of just get the sense. I'm saying that they went to me like, man, you know, we got to win, and we know what the fans are saying, all this kind of stuff. But, you know, there's this time of year, especially there's for the staff, there's long nights, even sleepless nights, and trying to make sure you got every base covered and watching all the film and getting the prep done. So, it's a great time of year. It's a fun time of year, especially for the fans. And the Illini are hoping that it's got some more weeks to it here, and you got to get it done here with Morehead State tomorrow, and then the winner of BYU and Duquesne if you do advance. So, yeah, today's just that last real step until we get here tomorrow, and it's on from there.
Well, speaking of Morehead State, I'm sure you've had a chance by now to dive into them a little bit deeper here. We had Chuck Mraz, their play-by-play announcer, on at 3:30, and he shared some insight. But what have you seen in watching a little Morehead State, diving into their numbers a little bit? What concerns you the most about this matchup? Where could this maybe get a little more dicey than Illinois fans would want tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it's a decent team, especially I went and watched that whole game at Indiana, where that's really one they should have won. You know, they were up 15 with 9 minutes to go, and were led by one of their guards, and Jordan Latham is a grad transfer from Milwaukee, at 30 points in that game. It was really just making some tough shots, and they have the ability to have guards that can make threes, and they're really surrounding the OVC player of the year and Riley Minix, who's an NAIA transfer, and he comes in as a 6'7", 230-pound forward that's pretty skilled offensively. We were kicking this around yesterday on the drive over. He reminds me a little bit of like a little bit shorter Joey Hauser. I think he's got some, he likes to play some booty ball, so he's got some Marcus Dimash in terms of play style with him. And then they put some guards that can shoot it around him. So you look at the metrics, and it's a team that plays a slow pace. I think that's one thing that, as you look at it, if you're trying to play from behind, if you have a slow start, they'll try to maybe pound the air out of the ball, really work the shot clock, and be very slow and methodical offensively. Of course, that then tests your discipline on defense to make sure that you're not falling asleep, you're able to compete throughout the course of a possession and not give up a quality look. So I think for Illinois, it's important to kind of put the pressure on them early versus vice versa. That's kind of the way I look at it. Minix, I think, in terms of the matchups, Quincy Guerrier, to me, I think that makes a lot of sense, because they start a 7-footer, and we'll see how that goes. Maybe you put Quincy on that guy and Coleman on Minix, but as they kind of get in their rotations, then the 7-footer will sub out, and they'll play some small ball, essentially, with Minix at the 5. So I think Brad's got some decisions, as he usually does, with versatility in matchups, but whether they want to put Quincy on him, whether they want to put Coleman on him, and then on the perimeter, you got to be able to make sure that some of those guards don't get going. So they got blown out in games at Purdue, at Penn State, at Alabama. So this is really one that Illinois should win. But yeah, in watching their Indiana game in particular, and then I went back and watched their OVC final against Little Rock, it's a solid team, and one that Illinois will have to play well and definitely be up for the game. I think that's another thing that we can't really fully judge yet, but it's one thing that definitely comes to mind, especially as the recent track record comes up with the Big Ten tournament champions, and you think about them playing late into the afternoon on Sunday and playing one of the earlier games on Thursday. Is there that hangover? Is there a situation where they haven't fully turned the page? I know they said that they did, and in talking to some people around here today, they mentioned, you know, getting to sit back and watch the selection show this time versus, you know, being still out on the court celebrating, and it allows them to kind of refocus a little bit. They go home, they have an off day, and then they really dive back into what's next. So they think that this is different than, of course, being in the COVID bubble and having some of that back in 21. But we'll really understand what that mental approach looks like when it's early in the game tomorrow, and they're going to need that intensity and to take this team seriously, because the Indiana game in Bloomington is an example of what can happen if Illinois isn't on and is kind of messing around with a team that could be bound to pull an upset if you are in that situation.
I want to ask you about Dane Danger specifically, because we didn't really get a chance to dive into kind of the specific games from over the weekend on Monday with you, but it feels like Dane really kind of had his breakout finally at the Big Ten tournament, where he has that 18.8 rebound game where you really needed it against Ohio State. I think he played 23 minutes on Sunday, helped you win a Big Ten championship. Is that a guy that you think could factor more into this rotation heading into the NCAA tournament, coming off what he was able to do in Minneapolis over the weekend? You look at this Morehead State team, and they look pretty thin in the front court. I know they start a seven-footer who was a Xavier transfer at one point, but it seems like a matchup, especially we kind of joke about sometimes how Dane really, when he sees a mid-major, he's had some of his best games. So is Dane a guy that you think can really start to factor in a little bit more for this Illinois team as they look to make a run here in the tournament?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point as far as what he's done against some of these low to mid-major teams, and could be a situation where you try to put fouls on Riley Minix if he's playing the five and see how that goes. Of course, there is kind of the give and take of if Minix is their five man, then Dane's got to be able to go out and guard him. I was encouraged, though, in the minutes that Dane was matched up with Stephen Crowell, who, on the whole, in the Big Ten tournament, shot the three pretty decently, that Dane wasn't giving up too many, you know, wide-open jumpers. That his activity defensively has really improved. So, but definitely, as far as the glass is concerned, and we know that throwing it inside to him can be an avenue for offense, and as long as he just doesn't get loose with the ball or try to be a little too fancy with it. One of the things I really liked and hearing him talk after the Ohio State game was like, hey, I saw when we battled them in Columbus, I was a little too finesse and just didn't take it into the chest of Okparo, who's one of the better shot blockers in the Big Ten. Of course, getting that opportunity there in Minneapolis against them, that's what Dane did. He went right through him. He had four and ones in that second half, and just playing with a lot of confidence and a good amount of energy and engagement. So I do think that he can be one of those players that helps push you another round or another weekend as far as the tournament goes. I even think as you look at the Baylor match or as you look at the BYU matchup, getting a look at them and some of their shoot around, I noticed in watching some of their film on the drive over here, I mean, their bigs look like offensive linemen. Like Ali Khalifa, who's a 7-footer and around 300 pounds, looks like he plays offensive tackle, and then their other guy looks like a guard. That not being, of course, the guard in the back or guard on the line. So you could have a matchup there where you need to have a banger inside against those type of guys. And I'm sure we'll talk here in a second maybe about BYU and obviously the way they shoot the three and everything. But yeah, I like Illinois' ability. I mean, it really, Kyle, and throwing it back to you, it's like, it's one of the things we really thought about at the beginning of the year is, you know, Brad's ability to lean on different guys, to play different lineups, and the way Dane's playing right now gives him that flexibility of playing bigger if he wants to, if Coleman's in foul trouble or is emotionally out of a game or whatnot, you can go in that direction. So I like what Dane's giving you there. I like what Luke's giving you off the bench too. And those are positives as you go into win or go home mode, that you got those guys in a good recent form.
Yeah. Let's talk a little about BYU, not to look ahead too far, but it sounds like you have dove into them a little bit as well. What does that matchup look like? I think it is interesting. Lana and I kind of talked about it. Both these teams really that Illinois drew, Morehead State and BYU, are teams that really rely on three-point shooting. And you look at Illinois on paper, and we talk about it a lot, about how this defense is designed to really force you more into the mid-range and run you off the three-point line. Do you like how that matchup could shape up for Illinois? I know it's been a lot of angst throughout social media and whatnot about how did we get a five seed? Of course, Illinois would get the one time that for whatever reason, a five seed has to drop to a six seed. But matchup wise against BYU, should Illinois take care of Morehead State on Thursday? Do you think that's one where Illinois should feel pretty good about how they match up with that BYU offense, especially?
I do like the fact that one of the key characteristics of Brad's defense is taking away the three. And of course, that's, like you said, and it's what the metrics say is how BYU wants to get their points. I mean, it's crazy the rate of three-pointers that they rattle off. I mean, they play with a fast tempo, so they're already going to play high-possession games, but they shoot about 51% of their field goals are from downtown, which I was looking up today. There's only been two other high major teams the last 20 years that have done that. It was West Virginia in like 2006 and Villanova in 2019. So it's really rare territory for a team that's now BYU, of course, coming from the Mountain West, not being in the Big 12, to be in a major conference and just shoot that much from the perimeter. But they've got a lot of capable shooters. They're going to run a lot of actions to get their guys freed up. They got screening actions that they run, pin downs, flares, screen for the screener stuff that Illinois is really, if they draw that matchup, going to have to be dialed in and not get hung up on screens and not have miscommunications. I do like that Illinois, as far as some of their comparable matchups, I would say. I mean, like, Iowa isn't a team that shoots three as much as they usually do, traditionally, as far as this year goes. But, Peyton Sanford runs off screens and Josh Dix as well. And they did pretty well. They did pretty well against Iowa in that sense. And Nebraska was another game where we know that Tominaga is a guy that can really go off. And, of course, he did against Illinois and Champaign. So another thing in watching BYU, it's one of those, even if you do a pretty good job on them in terms of positioning, they're going to have their nights. You just hope it's not one of those against you, or they hit 13 threes in their wins against Kansas and Iowa State, and maybe it was 14 in their win against Baylor. So those are the things you really want to avoid. You want to make them uncomfortable. As far as their defense goes, like, they don't have a lot of athleticism, especially on the perimeter. So I think that Terrence could really kill them, and even Marcus. And I think physicality-wise, the only way can impose their will on them as well. And another thought, as I was watching, they got kind of run off the floor against Texas Tech. And one thing that really stood out in that one, that's their last game in the Big 12 tournament. They lost by double digits and really were down 20 most of that game. When they miss threes, they're susceptible to giving out runouts and transition. And that's something that could really put Illinois in a position of strength. If they're getting stops and then if they're forcing misses from three, getting rebounds, and then running, BYU could have a hell of a time with Illinois. Of course, it's a different conversation if they're making their threes. But, it is funny, Kyle. I know we only have a minute or so left, but it's funny to look at the net rankings and see BYU a spot ahead of Illinois and be like, oh, boy. What do you make of that? I just hope we're not having this conversation because I'm not saying it's too much of an excuse. Like, it's fair to bring up. Loyola was in the top 10 of Ken Pom as a 9. Houston was in the top 10 of Ken Pom as a 5. Let's just not do that, right? Let's just have Illinois, if they do face them, take care of business and not have to lean back on it. Oh, of course, Illinois, fill in the blank, right?
Oh, I'm totally with you. And that is going to be the conversation. If Illinois loses to BYU, that will be the conversation. We'll be having it again the next time they're in the tournament. But I was telling Lon earlier this hour, like, Illinois is just a better basketball team than BYU. I can understand it a little bit more, like, against Houston a couple years ago, where you were a 4 seed and you're paired with a 5 seed that's all of a sudden, oh, they're better than you and favored by 4 points. Illinois should beat this BYU team, and I'm not here to make any excuses. I think in the first weekend, this sets up pretty nicely for Illinois. But I'm the one to blame for making us late today, so it's all right. But keep it quick if you can. Me and Lon went through our bracket predictions yesterday, and our brackets were eerily similar. I'm not sure how to feel about that, but I'm sure you've had a time to at least look through a bracket a little bit here. Give us any highlights, national title pick, and of course, how far do you ultimately have this Illinois team moving on?
Yeah, if you look at the East real quick, I do like a couple of upsets. I took Drake. I think they're going to have a really good fan turnout. You get the NBC respect over Washington State. I do think Iowa State beats them, and I have Illinois, Iowa State in that Sweet 16 in Boston. Really hoping to be making that trip after we're done here in Omaha. Ultimately, on the Illini side of things, Illinois and UConn in the Elite Eight. That's what I got. As far as that goes, I am going with the defending champs to make it back to the Final Four.
All though, three of us aligned on that exact pairing.
That's great. I think all of us would be, and every Illini fan out there, be satisfied with that, if that's your ultimate end game for this season. in terms of other Final Four teams, I took a little bit of a risk in Marquette, not from a seed perspective, but more so from Tyler Kolek's injury. But I just can't get out of my mind how impressed I was with them, and especially him. You like point guards this time of year. I think he's maybe the best one in the country, especially when he's healthy enough. As far as the other ones, I did not pick Purdue in the Final Four. Instead, I went Tennessee. I know they haven't finished out their season very well, but Dalton Connect and company, I know it's a really good defense, tough, hard-nosed team, and Connect's electric as a scorer, something they've been missing here of late. And then I took North Carolina as the other Final Four team. Ultimately, I have Tennessee beating UConn in my championship there in Phoenix. I'm looking forward to a lot of these first round matchups, though. FAU and Northwestern is really one I got circled for Friday. A lot of people talking about Stanford over Kansas now that McCullough's out. I like McNeese State maybe to make the 3-16 there with them beating Gonzaga in that little pod. So let's get this thing going. Last night, I know we got to go, but Virginia, what they did last night, what they put America through last night, disgusting.
That was awful.
Let's pray we got that out of the way, and the rest of what's getting served up to us is beautiful basketball, highly entertaining, close games, upsets, what have you. Let's get this thing going.
Totally with you on that. I was saying that the middle school team that Lon used to coach could have outscored Virginia last night. I mean, that was pathetic. But Derek Piper, thanks for joining us, hopping on. How'd I do in my first solo interview? Am I truly gunning for Lon's job now or what?
I think you got it. I think you're good. He knows it. He knows he's on the hot seat here. So great job by you, and hope we're talking about a round of 32 matchup when we sit down and discuss on Friday.
Heck yeah, man. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and let's do it on Friday. Let's talk some Illinois round of 32 hoops on Friday. How about it?
Sounds like a plan, man. Have a good one. I'll talk to you then.
You as well. Derek Piper on the Tapman's Towing phone line, the fantastic co-host of this show, but we have to go. I'm the only one to blame today for making us 3 minutes late. Normally it's Lon and Derek babbling on too much, but today it was me. I had to get that bracket question in. I'm sure everybody wanted to hear Derek Piper's bracket, not me and Lon's terrible brackets that'll be busted on the first day of the tournament. So hope you enjoyed that, but we will be off tomorrow, as Lon has mentioned a few times. Obviously, Illinois tips off 2:10, but we will see you to break it all down on Friday. And Derek Piper will join us again at 4:30 to share his thoughts live from Omaha. So we will see you then. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Enjoy the first round of the NCAA tournament. And we will be back here on Friday to talk about it all. It is The Drive.